Nevada Backcountry, Jerry Evans, sitting in for Henry and Dave, who are out because I get the opportunity to talk to a good friend and the president and CEO of the Wild Sheep Foundation, because the Sheep Show is coming back to Reno. Gray Thornton is on the phone with us from cold and chilly Bozeman, Montana. Good morning, Gray.
Hey, good morning, Jerry. Great to be on the program.
Yeah, well, good to have you not only on the program, but always good to have you in Reno for what is the first and only and the biggest hunting and sporting convention in Reno for the year, and that's coming up here January 16th, 17th, and 18th at the Reno Sparks Convention Center. We'll go over all the fun stuff, new stuff, and details, and the Wild Sheep Foundation, what it is and what you do. But let you and I get caught up, first and foremost, and that would be, how was your past year? Lots of hunting?
You know, I did go to Africa, went to Namibia. My wife hunted. I did bring a rifle, but I just kind of putzed around. That was, crazy enough, it was my 35th trip, but it was her first to the continent, but notably her seventh continent visited. So she's seen them all, because she went to Antarctica about a decade ago. So it was really it was our fifth anniversary for us, and just a great trip. But I kind of missed out, and then unfortunately, November, December had some elderly parent health issues. So, Jerry, I focused on them, fortunately, and by God's grace, they're both okay. But, my November, December was primarily taking care of parents. I'll be doing a lot of fishing this spring and summer, so I'll get back into it.
Well, glad you got to got your parents through whatever they were going through. And, hey, even if you didn't hunt, that was a goal to visit all the continents. Your wife did that, so that was good, as well as in my upper years here, as I'm getting, although I did get in two good hunts that I know you'll ask me about so that I don't brag but can tell you about them. I enjoy going along on hunts when I'm not hunting as well. I have some grandkids that will be old enough to hunt sometime soon, and I'm looking forward to that in my later years, is just hunting with the grandkids, whether I'm the camp cook or anything like that, just being out there in the outdoors with family and friends and doing that.
Isn't that the truth, Jerry? You know, and if you look, I know you and I shared some photos, and looks like you've got a dandy moose this year, and I'm anxious to hear about it, but you know, isn't that the truth? And it's, you know, if you look at the stages of hunter development, you know, we kind of go from that shooting stage, and you know, if it flies, it dies kind of a thing, to the give back stage. And you know, I'm 63. I'm with you. I get more of a charge. I mean, look, I love to hunt, but I get more satisfaction in many ways. With sharing the outdoor experience, sharing a hunting experience with a young guy or young gal. I don't have kids, but I've mentored both my cousins' son and daughter. Got them on a number of animals, and then hunting with my wife. She's a late onset hunter, and this was her first African experience. And you know, I love Africa. I love sheep hunting too, but I love Africa, and it was just so fabulous to share it with her. And you know, my rifle just stayed in the case, and I just lived and enjoyed, and had a fabulous safari with her hunting. So I get it 100%, my friend.
Now, what did she take? Plains game on this hunt?
Yes, it was a plains game hunt. So she was chasing Kalahari springbuck and oryx in Namibia, and we hunted. It was more of a tour, quite frankly. We were with great friends and their outfitters that exhibit at the Sheep Show, Aru Safaris in Namibia, Heisbert and Deneen Vanderbesthuizen, and we are good friends of ours. So we hunted about 5 days with them. And then we spent another 11 days touring Namibia with them. And one of the fabulous experiences was I rented a four-wheel drive, and we joined a caravan of 11 other couples and their families, and we did a Land Cruiser caravan down the Namib Desert from Walvis Bay down to a little place called Meok Bay. And, it was unbelievable. You had, you know, the Namib Desert and 300-foot sand dunes to our left as we were heading down, and the Atlantic Ocean to our right. And often we were timing the waves to make sure that you didn't, you didn't turn your Land Cruiser into a boat. And, that would have been an expensive mistake. But anyway, a fabulous trip. So,
Yeah, an expensive surfboard. That sounds really cool.
It was. Well, hey, but I'm anxious to hear about your moose hunt.
Well, okay, and this is really unusual for me. This is a two for two, and what I mean by that is I went last year with the same company up near Calgary, closer to the Canadian Rockies, and I got a really good moose last year as far as the antlers go. So this year I wanted to take my son with me, and I really wanted him to get a moose, and so we were a little further, almost just due north of Calgary, about 90 minutes or so, and it was tough hunting, whereas when I went last year, it was right during the peak of the rut in there, so there were moose, they were up, and they were moving all day long. This time, we hunted Monday through Friday, and we hadn't seen anything, so we're getting a little bit desperate and putting on some miles, actually, which is kind of unusual for a moose hunt. But I think my son said we did about 52 miles in the 6 days, and we just did not see a moose. We saw a cow moose at night when we were driving into town to fuel up again. And so we decided Friday we would split up, and he sat on a stand where there was a natural mineral lick, lots of sign, lots of fresh sign. And we dropped him off in the morning, drove about 20 minutes, got out, looked at a bog, a muskeg, and there was the moose right after we split up. That was Friday morning. They went out and hunted the rest of the afternoon and Saturday all till dark, and did not see another moose. So bit different. That's a November hunt. I definitely do it again. Same area. I would definitely do it during the rut. I really wanted him to get the moose, and if he had been with me when we saw that one, he would have definitely taken the shot. But did that, and then he did a cow elk hunt with me in September in a unit in Nevada I had not been into before, and it was just a beautiful unit, lots of game, and took a cow elk on the second day. And like we talked about, always nice to be hunting with a family member, a son or a daughter. And he was with me on that. So I got a freezer full of meat.
Oh, and it's, gosh, that moose is so delicious.
Yeah.
Top notch. That's prime fare right there. Well, congratulations. That's great. Jerry, is the rut for moose up that latitude? Is it earlier in the year?
Later? Basically, first week of October is the peak of the rut. Late September, but first week. And as far as somebody that really wants to get the moose, and yeah, the antlers are not going to be nearly like a Yukon or an Alaskan moose, but it's also about one third or less of the cost. And being in Alberta, even from Nevada, I mean, I marathon it to Coeur d'Alene, where my other son was living, and spend a day resting up, and then do about the same type of marathon driving up and back to get the moose meat. But if you want to get a moose, a decent moose, not a giant, but a decent moose, and get the meat and get it back affordably, I highly recommend Alberta. Like I said, it's one third, and the way things are going with Alaska and Yukon moose hunts, it's a one third or maybe even a quarter of the cost of one of those hunts.
Fabulous.
Yeah, fabulous.
Well, congratulations. And you know, you can. We've got another way to go moose hunting. We've got a couple of moose hunts, as well as Dall sheep, Stone sheep, Rocky Mountain Bighorn sheep, Desert sheep, all on raffle at the sheep show there at the Reno Sparks Convention Center coming up this week. So, it's a great segue. You can come down and visit with some outfitters, and we got some great Alberta outfitters and all over Canada, U.S., Mexico, and around the world. But we've got some great raffles you could participate in, too, and win one of those hunts.
Well, let's do this. First of all, Wall-to-Wall Exhibitors It's at the Reno Sparks Convention Center. Lots of expert-led seminars, youth wildlife conservation banquets. We got to talk about that. That's really a great thing that you do for everybody to be able to experience the show free and get your kids in and get them into some outdoor activities indoors. There's drawings, giveaways, raffles, silent auctions, banquets, and the expo features everything for the sportsman, including guided trips, gear and equipment, information seminars, wildlife art, and travel and taxidermy services. We'll talk about that and much more when we come back from a break. Great. Hang on. We'll be right back with you. It's Gray Thornton, the president and CEO of the Wild Sheep Foundation. We're back right after this on Nevada Backcountry. Welcome back. Thanks for spending your Sunday morning with us. It's Nevada Backcountry. Henry and Dave are taking a break here, the first part of the show. I'm with Gray Thornton, the president and CEO of the Wild Sheep Foundation. And the Sheep Show is coming up this next weekend, the 16th, 17th, and 18th at the Reno Sparks Convention Center. That's Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. The biggest mountain game hunting show of this type. Come for the sheep. Stay for the party. Come for the sheep means helping to support wild sheep and having a good time doing that. Let's talk about, first of all, the business aspect of the Wild Sheep Foundation, what you do and what you're able to do annually because of this show and people that are listening right now participating in the show.
You know, Jared, you nailed it with a come for the sheep, stay for the party. Wild Sheep Foundation has been holding our Sheep Show convention in Reno for a great number of years. This is actually our 32nd show in Reno. You were correct at the top of the program of this is the largest hunting and outdoor expo that is in Reno. It's open to the public. And the funds that we raise at this show and through our exhibits and our raffles and our auctions enable us to direct an incredible amount of money to wild sheep conservation, restoration, also protecting our hunting and outdoor heritage. Jerry, last year, Wild Sheep Foundation, due to the success of the convention, and it was a record, the 2024 show in Reno was just a barn burner. It allowed us, Jerry, to direct $11.1 million to programs and activities and habitat improvements to benefit wild sheep. So when you look at an organization our size, and I like to say, you know, we're about 11,000 members, just a little over. So from a membership size, you know, we're relatively small, but boy, do we cast a very long and very impactful conservation shadow, and that is the monies that we are able to direct on the ground with our chapters and affiliates and our agency partners, Endow being one of our fabulous partners, to conserve this iconic species, the bighorn sheep, the thinhorn sheep of North America.
And there are challenges with that. In case some people don't know, is this animal that lives in some of the roughest terrain and conditions on the planet, and yet domestic sheep, if they get anywhere near them or anywhere near where they've been before, they pick up this disease and it can kill off herds. Are there any of those situations that have happened in the last year or so, some big die-offs somewhere in the western states or anywhere, Gray?
Yes, there have. And you know, Endow and their biologists and the Wild Sheep Foundation affiliates there in Nevada work tirelessly to prevent contact between bighorn sheep, desert bighorn sheep, and domestic sheep and goats. It's a challenging situation. You know, we're a multiple-use advocacy organization, but there are some uses that are not compatible, and that would be putting domestic sheep and bighorn sheep or desert bighorn sheep together. So we work with wool growers to work on separation activities, work with the agencies to do that as well. But then when there's a die-off, we're also, you know, working with the agencies to repatriate sheep. Sadly, and, you know, I guess then on a good note, but sadly, a big die-off has occurred in Texas. Nevada's doing pretty darn well. But Texas, in the last 4 or 5 years, we went from 1,800 desert bighorn sheep down to below 600. And it's all from contact, not with domestic sheep, oddly enough, but with Audet.
Oh, really?
Texas, you know, Texas has about 40,000 Audet that were introduced into the range by Texas Parks and Wildlife many, many, many years ago in the 1940s. To be a, you know, a huntable game species. It is extremely hardy. It has it gestates and has litters, if you will, twice a year, not once a year like desert bighorns. It outcompetes in the desert habitat, and it is a vector for Mycoplasma ovum pneumonia. So, you know, here's a situation where it's not domestic sheep or goats. It's actually another wildlife species. It just happens to be an exotic. So very, very challenging. But Wild Sheep Foundation and Texas Bighorn Sheep Society and a couple of partners, Bass Pro Shops, Cabela's, the Campfire Club, our Midwest chapter, funded a trap and transplant of about 80 desert bighorn sheep from Elephant Gap, outside of Alpine, Texas, and we moved them to the Franklin Mountain State Park right outside of El Paso. And the idea there, Jerry, is to build up a herd of disease-free wild sheep and, you know, enjoy them from a viewing standpoint, but absolutely also as we build that herd and join from a huntable population as well.
I never knew that Audet, along the same lines of carrying the disease or causing the disease, is domestic sheep. I never knew that. What's the barrier in terms of miles, or do you have to put between wild sheep and Audet?
Great question. You know, this is a challenge that Nevada has as well with domestic sheep. You know, there's best practices that talk about a 7 to 10 to 12 mile radius that needs to occur. Jerry, you can have bighorn sheep go on 30-mile walkabouts. So, you know, the reality is if you take a bighorn sheep population and you do 30 to 40-mile radiuses, there's not a place in Nevada that they're not going to come into contact with something that might get them in trouble.
What about, sorry to interrupt, what about mountain goat? Are they susceptible to the same thing?
They are, crazy enough. So it's, you know, it is certainly a domestic and wild issue, but mountain goat can be carriers of Mycoplasma ovum pneumonia. Certainly Audet, camelids, potentially camels and llamas can be. So it's something that Wild Sheep Foundation spends millions of dollars on to do research. We're starting to work with USDA as well on the agricultural side and animal health. But, man, it's a challenge. So, you know, you can see why it's so important for us to raise money to conserve and make sure and ensure that this iconic species is on the landscape. It's an extremely challenging situation with all the, you know, the dangers that a wild sheep population face. In the lower 48, it's disease and predation. In the upper reaches of North America, it's weather and predation as well. And oddly enough, even golden eagle predation. So, you know, these are incredible species, incredible animals, as you pointed out, live in some of the harshest climates, but my goodness, do they have a lot of challenge. So
yeah,
they need organizations like the Wild Sheep Foundations and our partners there in Nevada, Nevada Bighorns Unlimited, Fraternity of Desert Bighorn, and Endow to make sure that they remain on the landscape.
The reason why I kind of interrupted there is the Rocky Mountain goat in Nevada that you can hunt in the Ruby Mountains, they actually opened up another unit east of the Ruby Mountains because the goats migrated east into this other range. And I I'm going to be way off probably, but I'm guessing that's maybe, as I picture it on the map, maybe 15 to 20 miles or more that a few goats migrated across the basin into another range, and that was another unit that opened up to hunt. Still always hard to get the tag, but the Rocky Mountain goat in Nevada. One more thing on predation, because a story just came out this past week, Gray, that there are now 9 packs of wolves in California, our neighbor right next door. Do wolves, are they a predator for sheep as much as, I was going to say as much as lion, but are they a predator of sheep as well?
You bet, Jerry. And you're right. I mean, mountain lion is typically what we speak most of. But as the, you know, as wolf populations expand, as agencies are welcoming them in some cases, Colorado, crazy. But, you know, to a lesser degree, Oregon and certainly California. You bet wolves predate on sheep. I was very fortunate to be up in British Columbia on a project, our Spetsizi initiative, in March of last year, and we captured 40 stone sheep, 20 ewes, 20 rams. And this was primarily a study, so we collared them all, and we did health assessments and nasal swab, throat swab, blood sample, hair sample, fecal sample, ear tag, and then collared and then released. And we're tracking these sheep to see where they go, where they winter, where the ewes drop their lambs. And we were flying in helicopters in minus 30 and below. I mean, it was crazy cold. And Jerry, up in the most remote high mountain alpine, we found 2 packs of wolves. And they weren't hunting ptarmigan, let me tell you. And after we did collar, that's an interesting experience. We darted them from the air, then net gunned them from the air, and then collared them, working with the Tahltan First Nation there. Release them to kind of see what their activities were. And lo and behold, it was not a couple of months after I got back and checking with the biologist, you can see the movements of a ewe that we had collared. And you know, these GPS collars are showing, I think it's every 5 or 10 minutes, they're pinging, you know, off the satellite. And it's showing the movement through this high alpine snowy terrain, and got with the Tahltan First Nation biologist, and he's tracking wolf movement, and we can tell absolutely that the wolves were hunting the sheep, and sadly, they did take that one ewe. So those are sheep-eating wolves for sure. You know, typically folks will think, oh, they stay down in the valleys and in the timber, and focus on moose and focus on deer and focus on elk. Well, that may be true, but there are, you know, stone sheep, doll sheep, bighorn sheep, and desert bighorn sheep targeting wolves too. So
yeah.
It is a concern, and you know, that's, you know, the bottom line, when the wolf, and, you know, Wild Sheep Foundation is an anti-wolf, you know, but we're pro-responsible management. And the bottom line, and you and I have chatted about this before, you know, with humans on the landscape, and, you know, we've got 340 million some odd people in the United States, you know, 8 billion people on this planet, we're going to impact the landscape. So, you know, this kumbaya look that we can just let nature take its course, well, that might have been true, you know, 300 years ago. It ain't the case now. So the bottom line is, if we want wildlife on the landscape in the limited habitat that we still give them, that's not taken up with our parking lots, our houses, our shopping centers, you know, our high-rises, we're going to have to manage the species. So You want wolves? Fine. You better manage them.
Exactly. One last thing on that, and then we got to talk about the organization that helps the sheep. Years ago, Gray, when I was involved in doing a hunting show, I remember reading a quote from somebody on the California Fish and Game Commission, and she actually said, we would prefer that wolves manage our wildlife, not hunters. There.
Yep.
That was perfect.
Yeah,
about 5 seconds of silence to let that sink in. Gray, I'm going to ask you to stick around. We're running long, but I want to talk more about the show that's coming up this next weekend in Reno. So stay there. Gray Thornton, President and CEO of the Wild Sheep Foundation, Nevada Backcountry on 99.1 and 92.3 FM. Go to 991fmtalk.com and you can download the podcast anytime you want. Take a quick break and we'll be right back. Thank you for spending part of your Sunday with us. And every Sunday, 10 to 11, Nevada Backcountry. Jerry Evans in for Dave and Henry. They'll wrap up the show with more on that wolf pack. Right next door, just north of Truckee, our neighbor to the left in Cal Unicornia. Sponsor mentions, Legacy Sports International featuring the Howa Superlight. Several magazine covers this past year. Randy Newberg using it to take a bull elk, a caribou, a moose. Now, this is basically a 3.5-pound rifle and in several different calibers, and it is taking some game. I used one on my cow elk hunt in northern Nevada this past year. Battleborn Tree Service, Mike Orlick, the owner, avid hunter, outdoorsman, and conservationist, and Truck Envy, featuring the Ranch Camper Shell, sponsors of Nevada Backcountry this Sunday morning. The Sheep Show is coming up this weekend. We get into all the details now with Gray Thornton, President and CEO of the Wild Sheep Foundation, here on 99.1 and 92.3. We'll pick up the conversation with Gray. So sheep have a big challenge, and you got the Wild Sheep Foundation that helps sheep every year. And it's not just we do this big convention here in January in Reno, and then a couple of months later, we're done with the job. It's a 24/7, 365 a year job and project and mission for the Wild Sheep Foundation. Let's talk about, Gray, more what you guys do to help those sheep, which is coming up this next weekend here in Reno.
Yeah, Jerry, you know, we open the show to the public. It is just an open to the public show. Entrance is, and admission's only $25. It's open Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 10 to 5 Thursday and Friday, 9 to 5 on Saturday. As I mentioned, only $25 to get in. We got $5 off coupons at Bass Pro Shops in Verdi. We've got it at Gun World in Elko, Huntin' House, Gun World in Archery, Mark IV in Strike, Shields, Sportsman's Warehouse, in both Reno and Carson City, so you can get a $5 off coupon. Brings your price down to only $20 to get in the door. A couple things that we've done new this year, Jerry. You can pre-buy your tickets online at wildsheepfoundation.org. Go to our convention registration pages there. Buy your tickets online. And you'll get a QR code, walk in, avoid the lines at registration, just walk up to a kiosk, present your QR code, it'll print a badge for you, and then you go into the show. And what we've done in the past, and you and I have chatted about this, everyone who buys a ticket and goes into the show is entered into what we call four credit drawings. We give away five $1,000 credits on Thursday, two $2,500 on Friday, and one $5,000 credit on Saturday, and that's for you to use with one of our exhibitors. So you could buy a $25 ticket, get a $5 off coupons at one of the fine stores there in the Reno Sparks area, walk in the door for $20, and on Thursday you might win $1,000, Friday you might win $2,500, Saturday you could win $5,000. You do not need to be present to win the four credit drawing. So you can pop in, go validate your ticket in Hall 3. We'll have a kiosk there. We want to make sure you walked in the door. And we're going to be drawing those at about 3 o'clock every day, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. What we're doing this year is we're offering optics packages, too. So every day we're going to draw a winner from somebody in the show on some fabulous binoculars, scopes, spotting scopes, and goodies.
Oh, in addition to the floor credit drawings?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. I'm always,
little added bonus.
What about the exhibitors? I know there's some fishing expeditions and some charter services that are always at the show. What about exhibitors and any new ones that you want to mention? Some of the others that you want to make sure people check out?
Jerry, as you mentioned, wall-to-wall exhibits. Hall 1, 2, and 3 are packed full of guides and outfitters, and primarily North America, but we've got Africa, Spain, South Pacific, Europe, South America, as you mentioned as well. Fishing outfitters, unbelievable taxidermy, artwork, jewelry, firearms, optics, furs, other equipment, backpacks, clothing. I mean, if you need it in the outdoors, you can find it at the Sheep Show there at the Reno Sparks Convention Center. It's just a fabulous, fabulous show. Family friendly, and we spoke about the Youth Wildlife Conservation Experience. Thursday and Friday, we bring in public and private and homeschool kids to Hall 5 this year. We've got over 40 hands-on stations that they can go through, from fly tying to kayaking to rock climbing to BB gun range, archery range, tracking skills. So that's for middle school students and also some grade school students on Thursday and Friday. And then on Saturday, completely open to the public and free. So, come on down to the show on Saturday the 18th. Bring your kids. Go to the Youth Wildlife Conservation Experience. Enjoy that, and then come on into the expo. Our youth coordinator, Dr. Ryan Brock, always has a few complimentary tickets to get into the show. Kids, by the way, to go into the expo under 12 are free. So it's just a family-friendly event and a great, great time. Our friends, you said you like optics. Our friend at Leica Sport Optics each year do a deal for the kids coming through, and they call it tracks, and you follow the sheep tracks to various exhibits and exhibitors, validate a card, and then drop them off at the Leica booth, and you're going to be entered into a drawing for a beautiful pair of 8x30 Trinovid binoculars. So unbelievable giveaways. In many cases, you don't have to buy a thing. You just be there. And you're in a drawing. And then, as I mentioned earlier, unbelievable raffles this year with some of the best odds at winning a sheep hunt anywhere.
Oh, cool, cool. And again, just to clarify, cost of admission on Saturday is a child. So bring a kid and get into the exhibit hall for free. 12 and under as well, Gray?
12 and under are free.
Okay.
We've got discounts for... Ryan does some discounted tickets that he passes out. We've got first responder military discount. But, bottom line is, come on down to the show. It's great value. You can spend the entire day there. And bottom line, come all 3 days. Come Thursday, come Friday, come Saturday. Come down to the Reno Sparks Convention Center. Enjoy the sheep show. As you pointed out, come for the sheep, and you're gonna be helping them out.
All right.
And then stay for the party.
Exactly. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. That's coming up at the Reno Sparks Convention Center. Gray Thornton. Gray, always good to have you here in town. Always good to catch up with you as well. January 16th, 17th, and 18th at the Reno Sparks Convention Center, the Wild Sheep Foundation, the biggest hunting show and convention and expo, all going on 3 days coming up this next weekend in Reno. And don't forget, Saturday, bring a kid and let them enjoy the outdoors. My grandkids love it every year. They're the ones that are usually putting the arrows up into the ceiling.
I love it.
All right, great. Hey, thank you so much for being on Nevada Backcountry. We're going to turn things over to Dave and Henry here in a moment. Gray Thornton, President and CEO of the Wild Sheep Foundation. We'll see you this coming week.
See you soon, Jerry. Thank you.
Thank you very much to Jerry Evans and Gray Thornton for dominating the early portion of the show there. Dave and I are going to be wrapping up the show today. We don't have a ton of time, but there's a couple things I wanted to get to. Thank you to all the show sponsors, Legacy Sports International, Shooting Performance Institute, and Truck Envy. Now, Dave, we got a little bit of listener feedback.
All right.
We're talking about archery stuff. We keep mentioning the youth primitive hunts.
Yeah.
That's what the state is calling them, is a primitive hunt.
Correct.
Okay, so I got an email from, I'm not going to say a last name, but Phil, but he said was listening to our show, and he keeps hearing us talk about this youth primitive hunt. He asked, will this be a recurve or patched round ball percussion or flintlock muzzleloader hunt? Good question. This is not what like Idaho considers a primitive class of
correct
weapon.
Yeah, no, this is strictly, they're calling it a primitive youth hunt, but it is just follows the standard archery and or muzzleloader guidelines. So, you know, if you want to shoot, if your kid wants to shoot the longbow, he sure can, or they can use a compound. It's not primitive in the sense that you think it's primitive.
Right.
It's primitive in the sense that it's not a high-powered rifle with a 9-power scope or something. It's strictly following the muzzleloader rules and regs and then the archery rules and regs.
He wraps up the email with, if it is with a compound bow or modern inline, then it is not a primitive hunt, just my opinion. Hey, look, I understand that, and there's a romanticized version of hunting. I've killed a mule deer with a recurve.
Yeah.
I think it's cool. I always fancied myself like Davy Crockett running around in the woods. But semantics aside, I understand primitive has different connotations in different states.
Yes.
I think any opportunity to get kids out in the field, increase their chances of success, are better overall. So if they want to call it a primitive, but they're using compound bows or they're using a modern inline muzzleloader, I'm totally cool with that. If you want to don the coonskin cap and run around with a possibles pouch with a flintlock as an adult during muzzleloader season, man, knock yourself out. And honestly, if I run into you, I'm probably going to ask you a bunch of questions and be envious.
Oh, but heck yeah.
For kids, I'm like, hey, get them out there. I don't care if they...
And I see where he's coming from because it, you know, you do read the words primitive weapons and you go straight to Idaho,
Montana
and stuff where their primitive hunts are exactly that. It's longbow, recurve, flintlock. I mean, it really gets down to the primitive styles.
Hey, Phil, thank you for the feedback. All right, next up, we got an email from John. He was talking about listening to the program on archery, enjoying it. He was contacting us about, I guess, becoming a board member for the Nevada Bow Hunters Association. So he goes to a bunch of archery shoots in Nevada. Off air, Dave, I'll show you his full name. You might recognize it. Just so everybody knows, we've covered the NBHA restructuring a little bit on the show. 2025 is going to be the first full year, or I shouldn't say first full year. I should say what?
First year where we're back to having a shooting series. We took 2024 off to do some restructuring. There were some issues, so we had to just, instead of piecemealing it, bandaging stuff, we just kind of cleared the table and starting from scratch. But yeah, so this will be the first year where we'll have the new 3D state championship series.
And an indoor series, or not series, but an indoor shoot.
Yeah, since we're affiliated with NFAA, we have to do an indoor shoot series, which is a 3-spot Vegas round and then a 5-spot blue face round.
Gotcha.
For a state indoor championship.
So, John, off air here, I'll share your contact information with Dave. He's the current president.
Yeah.
In fact, right now, We are looking for a secretary slash treasurer.
Yeah, and another director at large, which is just another board member.
Yeah. So, okay.
Yeah.
So there are some opportunities there, John. Thanks for getting in touch, and we'll make sure we follow up with you.
Definitely. Thank you very much, John.
Now to the meat and potatoes of the segment, confirmed wolf pack north of Lake Tahoe.
Yes.
So as we suspected, I know we talked about I believe it was some sightings there in Hope Valley, just south of Lake Tahoe.
Correct.
I'm going to go ahead on record and I'm going to say I believe that was probably wolves based on the pictures I've seen. California has now officially declared, whatever the phraseology is, they've recognized that there is another pack north of Lake Tahoe. They're calling it a pack because it's been established for long enough now.
Yeah. So, yeah, but they've been within that area now for quite some time and the same four are moving around. And yeah, if you look at the pictures and you know physiology of a wolf compared to a coyote, compared to a fox.
That's a wolf.
That's a wolf.
Yes.
That is a wolf. The legs, the muzzle, that's a wolf.
Yeah. So, I mean, what that means overall for like an ecological impact, they've been there for a while. I don't see they're going to reproduce. They're going to expand in number, but I don't see any major impact quite yet.
No.
That's a lot of big country up there.
Yeah.
So I saw an email from somebody talking about this and it was, I'm not going hiking without being armed or something like that. Look, I've spent enough time, I think, in wolf country and grizzly country and hunting in the backcountry. The odds of a wolf standing still long enough for you to get a good look at it,
geez.
If you're out there hiking around, you got nothing to worry about.
Yeah, pretty
much.
And
watch, I'll say that, and in like two episodes, we'll cover some hiker getting eaten.
Oh, dude, let's not do that one.
Yeah. 99.1% of the time.
Nice one.
They're skittish.
Oh, yeah.
They might check you out or something. Like if you're out there backpacking, you'll hear them howl at night. I'll give the example of Canada. They were howling and yipping like crazy on the ridges above us. We went in there with the sole intent to kill one of them or two of them. We never even saw them. So I always have that thing when people get like the critter fears. I sit back and I go, man, I've gone out into plenty of wild places expressly looking for bears, wolves, mountain lions, and rarely encounter them. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk.